Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, listeners of the show. Brian here. This is our 50th episode, and we really wanted to thank you for listening to our shenanigans with your favorite Broadway peeps every Tuesday for almost a year. Thank you so much. Thank you! And if you haven't yet, we'd love if you went onto iTunes to rate and review the podcast. That'd be awesome. But we also wanted to let you know that we're going to be a part of the annual Broadway Spelling Bee on Monday, May 8th. Kimberly, Kevin, and I are helping to raise money for arts education for underserved NYC students through the group Broadway Bound Kids. Basically, it's a hilarious spelling bee with your favorite Broadway stars from your favorite shows. But check out BroadwayBoundKids.net, where you can simply donate or join a specific spellers team to access tickets to the event. The spelling bee is Monday, May 8th, and we'd love for you to help out in any way you can. Now, our live episode from the Bell House in Brooklyn for New York City Podfest.
Oh, Broadway, musicals, musicals.
Musicals, musicals, Broadway.
You know what? Broadway, Broadwasted.
There we go. Oh my God. Let's give a big round of applause to Broadwasted.
I legit thought no one was going to show up.
I sat down on my props.
So it would just be like Kimberly's apartment where like it's just us.
Hey, my apartment's great.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Cool.
I'm going to wave at everyone.
This is cool. Ready?
Let's do it.
Because I'm not ready.
I need to open my book.
What'd you say?
I just have to open my notebook.
That's okay.
There's so many props.
There's a lot of stuff going on
I'm
here.
I'm getting nervous.
Yeah.
Shit.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast where we're drunk on theater.
Woo! I'm your...
Hell yeah! Cheers! I'm your host, Brian Plopsky, and hello 12, hello 13, hello love, Lee 50. That's right. This is our 50th episode, or as I like to call it, a midlife Marie's crisis.
Well done.
You're welcome. As we're closing in on a year of Broadwasted, we're super pumped, but this isn't one normal night because we're being pulled in a new direction.
Oh, Jesus.
That one was obvious. We're being pulled in a new direction, so move over, Sound of Music, Peter Pan, The Wiz, Grease, Hairspray, and Bye Bye Birdie, because Broadwasted is live from the Bell House in Brooklyn as a part of NYC Podfest. And no me diga, but look at this crowd. Full disclosure, we should be drinking champagne because I'm getting good vibrations. I might be crazier than you, but this is the first date of us doing something like this. So while there may be an awkward pause here or there, it really is a trial and error here today. I know. You definitely won't need a bailout song.
Woof.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
We're creepy, we're kooky, mysterious, and spooky, but our guest today may not be altogether ooky. I mean, we'll see, but what if? It's our spring awakening today. It's our spring awakening today. Sorry, I had to do it twice.
I hate you.
So grab an Into the Witch's shawl on, a Newsies broomstick you can crawl on. We're going to pay a Bells Are Ringing call on.
Oh.
Our liver capacity. Ba-na-na-na.
I was like...
But joining us today are the usual smashed drinking buddies, season two, of course.
Right. Toads.
Including Kevin Bombshell Jager.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, the Broadwasted Club is proud to present, for the first time here on the podcast, we'd like to introduce to you the act you've known for all these years, the Sergeant Pepper of Game Mastery, and our unofficial babysitter for the hour, the unbreakable Kimberly Schmidt!
Yeah. That's a fun new name.
She done got married.
Yeah. She's alive, damn it.
Damn it.
But with us today is a guest who is no stranger to the screen and stage.
Nope.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
She's currently starring in the very funny NBC comedy Trial and Error. And you know her from her Broadway performances in Good Vibrations. Both Spring Awakenings.
Yep.
I had to do it twice.
Yeah. In the Heights, First Date, and originating Wednesday Addams and the Addams Family Musical, which opened 7 years ago yesterday. Hashtag dating. But we know it's all about Rose in Iceland.
Right, obviously.
And Anna Vargas in season 2 of Smash.
Yes!
That was for Kevin.
Thank you.
Let's give a big live Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Yeah! Krista Rodriguez! Welcome.
I'm going to use that as my new, like, 100-word bio. Whenever they're like, you need a 100-word bio, I'm going to use, like, I'm crazier than you, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, if you don't put Nomi Diga in your new bio.
Yeah, I'm really upset with you if you don't.
Yeah.
But you can follow her on Twitter at Krista Rodriguez, but the O is a zero.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's another Krista Rodriguez. Because
I joined too late. Yeah. I'm always like 7 months behind joining something.
But it's all capitals. So I feel like when I tweet at you, it's like, Krista Rodriguez!
Yeah. Jeremy Jordan gets really mad at me. And he's like, why is it all capitals? I don't want to yell at you.
I don't know him.
He's this like really terrible, untalented person.
Yeah.
No one's ever heard of him.
Yeah. But Instagram is Krista_Rod.
Yeah, again, joined like 2 years too late.
But let's just start with what we always start with. What are you drinking? What are you day drinking?
Day drinking whiskey. I don't know what kind. It was brought to me.
That's probably well.
Yeah, with a splash of ginger ale.
Same.
Just a splash. Which is my favorite drink. Because I really believe that like whiskey should taste like ginger ale anyway. So obvious. Like the ginger ale brings out the flavor.
What do you... unique perspective on whiskey.
I'm also having whiskey ginger.
Oh, and I have a gin and tonic. Yeah, I stay on brand.
But we pre-gamed with Hudson whiskey.
Yeah.
As you
baby
can see.
Bourbon.
Thanks, Brian's uncle.
What?
There's also none of it left, so you know where we are.
That bottle was full half an hour ago.
It was so hard to open, too.
Kevin used a scissor. Kevin got really upset.
No, Kevin Bartini opened it for us. So
oh, that's true. But Kimberly,
podcast.
I think you have something to tell us, to include everybody.
I do. Does everyone out there have a drink?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we wanted to include you in our drinking. This is already going to hurt you guys. So I have some rules for you guys so that you can play a drinking game with us throughout this podcast. Ready? So take a drink. Anytime Brian makes
a
pun.
Drink.
So that's going to be a lot. So we'll listen for the puns. Take a drink anytime Kevin laughs too loud.
Oh, God.
And take a drink anytime I stutter over my rules when I'm explaining a game. So I did that twice just now. So if you can take two drinks.
Giant laugh.
But you don't need to retroactively do my opening monologues.
No, because then you'd...
Because you'll all die.
Everyone would leave to go to get a new one.
But so that's the rules. But like, let's start with our first segment.
There you go.
And we're off and running. What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
I'm trying to join in. I saw Significant Other.
Yes.
Which I love. I saw it off-Broadway, too, and I really loved. But Gideon, who I was in Spring Awakening with, number one. And then...
yeah, please be specific.
Numero uno. And then Lindsay Mendez and I grew up together in Orange County, and we went to high school together.
Oh.
And we've been friends almost our whole lives. So it's really exciting to see
them
in a show together. And the show's really good, and it's closing in 2 weeks, so go
April 23rd it closes, so buy your tickets. Ticket Today Ticks on their site.
Why.
Go see it.
It's really good. Yeah.
Did it change much from off-Broadway to Broadway?
No. It's like the same, but just bigger. And like the performances are even better. It's great.
It's a significant show that you should go see.
Exactly.
With another.
Drink!
Pun.
Oh, God, puns.
I hate you.
Most people do.
I, last week...
Yes?
Yes?
...had the pleasure of seeing Finding Nemo, the musical.
Yeah.
In Disney World with my husband.
Did you just keep swimming?
We just kept swimming, and now if I could remember the melody of that song, that'd be great.
I'm trying to think of it too.
Jay, do you remember?
Well, that's in the...
Well, no, there's like movie, a whole right? song and musical.
It's written
for like,
by Bobby Lopez and Kristen.
Yeah, I think
Lopez,
it is just like just keeps. And yeah, it's the same thing.
It is,
the
yeah.
one that stuck in my head is the turtle.
Yeah, go.
Because the puppets were all really cool, and then the turtle puppet was this huge puppet, and like each leg had a full person underneath of it, and then the guy who was like playing the puppet
singing.
Was just standing on top of the turtle's back. Which was very confusing because he was like, he had these like
surfer
arms going.
So he was surfing the turtle?
But he has to sing
yes.
so high.
He sings so
he
high.
He couldn't operate a puppet at the same
How
time.
How high did he sit? No.
It's really
But he
loud.
Was like doing all these like surfer movements. So I thought he was like, I kept looking for strings as though he was like marionetting the mm-hmm. turtle. But he was not. He just thought this looked cool.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
That's what I took away from Finding Nemo, the musical.
So if you're in
the
Disney,
show written for five-year-olds.
Go see it.
That I saw yeah, with my husband
yeah.
as
You saw it, Krista, yeah?
I've seen it twice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Endorsement.
I'm a repeat offender of the Finding Nemo musical.
Did you get a fast pass or did you wait in line?
We had VIP seats.
Oh. I'm sorry.
We cool. knew Nemo.
That's what happens when you do Iceland, the made-for-TV movie.
It's not a made-for-TV movie. It's so disappointing. I did a pilot like 8 years ago, and for some reason it's on IMDb as a made-for-TV movie.
Well, maybe your performance was so big it couldn't fit into a made-for-TV show.
It was a
show?
Made-for-TV Kevin. Pilot that never got to TV.
I feel like you should probably call it a made-for-TV movie because a pilot just seems like it didn't get picked up.
But it did, but no one saw the movie either. You know what I mean? No one's ever seen it.
But we all
it's
lived
on my
the
computer,
movie, right? We all
it.
Lived
It's
the
on your
movie.
Computer.
Yeah,
and
sure,
the rest
Kevin.
Of the episode is Iceland. But
Enjoy.
Let's. But Kevin and I saw the play that goes wrong.
We did.
Woo! Oh. You guys saw it? Or you just like plays that
British
go wrong?
British people!
Yeah. It was excellent.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed that hard in a Broadway theater in a really long time. And I just, everything that happened, just it was like silly stuff that you could predict happening. But at the same time, when it happened, it was just the funniest thing you had ever seen. It was amazing. I hurt from laughing afterward.
Oh,
were there moments that like you actually couldn't tell if they went wrong or if they were part
yes,
of the show?
Yes, there was, because Brian actually said that.
Oh, so this is. So I forget.
He's laughing now. Flashback.
So, sometimes I forget that Kevin's gay.
Yeah, it happens.
And so we're like hanging out in the balcony watching the show, and we're all like, ho ho ho, belly laughing. And then somebody goes, oh my God.
No, there were like a few moments that I gay gasped, where I was just like, because stuff happened that like, you almost can't believe that it was like planned because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like you actually thought that the actors were in like
danger.
Yeah.
And so there were a few moments where I was like, ha, 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 ha. And then at intermission, Brian actually said that to me. He goes, I forget you're gay. And then you do something really gay. And I'm like, right.
That's so, like that's our Kevin.
So if you want to identify if your friend is gay or not, take them to see the play that went wrong
yeah.
and see what happens to yeah. their response.
Intermission might be a coming out session.
Yeah. Careful, you might find right. out something.
Yeah, exactly. Sure
I saw the Harry Potter plays in London.
Oh, you saw Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't spoil anything.
I won't spoil anything, but I screamed, legit screamed a couple times.
Really?
At what was happening.
Because it was spooky?
Out of just like sheer like how the F are they doing this? Like I was watching, I'd be like, ah! Slowly, scream. And then a friend of mine was there. He had already seen the show, and we ran into each other on the street in between shows. And literally, the conversation was, ah! Right? Ah! Okay. Ah! And then we left. That was the conversation. So, yeah, I relate.
Review. Our
yeah.
suggestion is see everything.
Yeah.
well done.
Let's just get into questions with you, Krista.
Okay.
You're being transported to a desert island.
Okay.
Napoleon style.
Okay.
Okay? And you, you get there, can only see one show. It's going to be the perfect version of that show. You don't know who the actors are going to be. It doesn't matter. You know that you're going to love perfect? That perfect version. What do you see? Oh, there's no Broadway on the island.
There's no Broadway on the island?
Yeah.
None.
Or shows. Gosh. What are you going to see?
Gosh. Well, my favorite show is Cabaret. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would pick that one necessarily, though, to mm-hmm. see it, because I would rather be... I don't want to watch someone else do it. You know, like, right. I'd rather... If I could be in it before I go to the desert island, that would be okay.
As Sally Bowles?
As Sally Bowles, obviously.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Not as the
MC. I know if you're like, Fräulein Kost.
No. My accordion skills are on point. But you know what show I really love that's kind of random that doesn't get done that much is Children of Eden.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
so maybe I'd
want
to see like something like Children of Eden or Once on This Island that's like leading me to the island.
Yeah. You'd be
you know?
Lost in the wilderness.
Right?
Or
yeah, right. Like
A Stranger in White.
A Stranger in White.
Yeah. We've all watched
gods.
Lost. We know about
yeah,
people
totally.
In White. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, so maybe some island theme just to get me in the mood.
Okay.
I love that.
To be on an island forever.
Good question.
Yeah. I feel like that's great. So what happened to Anna now?
Yes,
oh,
right?
Anna.
Because you weren't included in the bullshit,
no!
Shit, like, sum up of what was happening.
Well,
Kevin is very
I'm sorry.
Really?
I was a Smash fan. Passionate.
I know. Well,
they
I know. Well, they said
they,
that
like,
I was going on tour with Once, so
right.
I have a smashing turn on the tour of Once, I'm sure. And then I come back and somehow destroy that bitch that took my Tony.
Yeah, she like she takes her Tony, and on the night she wins it, they're like, "Yeah, she's not doing it anymore."
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
so
amazing.
I somehow have to like overthrow her in some capacity. I don't know what that
where
peanut
was she,
smoothie.
Where would she be in like 2017 land?
God.
Doing a phenomenal podcast at the Bell House?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. She's probably like starring
not this one,
in like
ones
the revival of a Cape Man or something. Like something like, you know what I mean? Like she's bringing back some crazy ass show, but she's like
she's doing
nailing Carrie
at the Muni,
it.
But yeah. like owning
but
it.
Owning it, exactly. Exactly.
She does every Encores production.
Yeah, yeah. She, no, I feel she's like a big ass deal. Let's make her a big ass deal somehow. She needs some vindication.
Yes.
Or she's like traveling with Pink, teaching her how to do silks.
Anna was so good at silks. Like, she, like, owned
Anna
silks.
Anna was good. She was quick.
Anna owned silks.
She also choreographed
right
the Super Bowl Lady Gaga number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. That's good. And she's been on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, for sure.
Anna has a better career than all of us.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
What made you want to do this? What show did you see? What did you do that made you say, hey, theater's cool?
Well, I always say that the like I got into theater.
You're welcome for that question.
I got into theater the same as like most kids did, which is Annie. Like Annie destroyed my life, basically, in a good way. But like
maybe.
I saw it and I was like, nah. You know, I was five.
You sounded like a velociraptor.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about the show, but I just remember being like, I was young, and I was in the second row, and it was like her and the dog and the lights, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. And
they didn't even do the show yet.
I never did Annie. I never got to play Annie. I remember being 13 and being like in the car with my mom and being like, oh my God. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I'm never going to play Annie. Like I just had, although I
so
thought I'd never
play. So revive Annie with Krista Rodriguez.
Yeah. I
won't
I didn't
change
think I was
the
playing Ilsa
at
again at 32, yeah, but right, that happened. So. Yeah. But yeah, so, Annie, and then I came to New York when I was six and I saw Fiddler on the Roof and I like loved being in New York and theater or whatever.
Was
and
that
then,
your first Broadway
that
show?
That was my first Broadway show. And then I came again when I was 13 and saw 8 Broadway shows in 8 days and was like, I saw everything. I have pictures of me with Will Chase and like Michael Barras. Will was in, Miss Saigon.
Oh.
No, I'm old, y'all.
Oh.
And Michael Bress was in Chicago.
Yes.
Wait, Billy who was your Tevye when you saw it?
Topol.
Topol?
Yeah. Oh. But I was six. I was, like, really young.
Yeah.
But, and so I just saw all these shows. I saw Audra in Ragtime and, like, talked to all these people. I was like, oh, and they were like, yeah, you know, I, like, asked as many questions as I could, and I came back, and I was like, this is it.
That's
so
sick.
That set me on the set me on the path.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think we should play our first game.
First game?
You play game?
Oh, Kimberly, what do we have?
Get ready to drink.
Hold on. I need my cups.
Okay.
Why? Are you going to say I'm going to stutter?
I didn't say that. You said that earlier.
That's true. I set myself up.
Yeah.
We're going to play plot points.
Yeah!
And I made a funny pun because the plots are being pulled in a new direction.
Oh.
They laughed.
Ish. Sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I have the names of some John Hughes movies.
Woo!
And no, I have no the else. Names. No one likes John Hughes?
Yep.
Aren't we all millennials? Like, what's happening? And I have the names of some kids' songs.
Love
and
it.
And so the game... Huh?
Baby Beluga?
Baby Beluga's not in there. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Sorry, I was real tired.
This is the first time I'm here about this game, so very nervous.
Oh, okay. So let me actually tell the rules. So you're going to pick one from each cup. So a title of a John Hughes movie and okay. the name of a kid's song.
Okay.
And you're going to try and describe the plot to said movie to the tune of whatever song you pick out.
Okay.
And then since we have an audience, you guys will get to decide who wins... by a like round of the plaz meter after.
I'll go first.
Wait, so we're talking the real plot of the John Hughes movie?
Yeah, but like to the tune
to
of the kids
tune
song.
Of the song. Okay.
I'll go first.
Kevin,
I'm
do you
want
to go first to explain?
Yeah. So okay. I'm gonna pick
so
one.
So be good at it.
Okay. Here we go.
No promises.
Yep.
I think I put ones in that everyone knows.
Okay. So this is a movie that stars Molly Ringwald.
On top of spaghetti.
And yes. she's turning not 15 and not 17.
Oh,
but
okay, I see what's going on. All right. I
oh, and we all have to guess.
We have to guess.
Sorry.
Okay, 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 okay. Okay. Oh, my God, I'm nervous.
It's the plot
all right, let's do
to
this.
A song. I heard your question.
But she's saying, do you have to guess the song?
Yeah, you
got to
guess
show.
Both because okay. it's... The real deal, Krista.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'm right. No, that was her question.
Well, she's never coming back.
you, not her.
Yeah. My family went to Paris on vacation and forgot me.
Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2. Oh, yeah, good.
And two robbers came in and slipped on race cars.
John Jacob Dinkle Hammer Schmidt.
Yeah! And now I'm using aftershave and going, ah, 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 ah.
Thanks for finishing that.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm so nervous.
So I've taught little kids. This is that town sounded terrible. So I played Simon Says with kids before. This is also is terrible. At a camp. This yeah, that makes more sense. And I said like Simon Says, Home Alone, and they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to change this generation of people.
Yeah.
Who know that this is Home Alone.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
That's a
you ready, Krista?
I think I'm
usually
ready.
That would be cut, but it's not okay. going to be in this one.
Okay,
but this is live. Okay.
We are degenerates stuck on Saturday.
Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I'm singing
we
it.
Are,
it. I'm done. I'm just
wait,
singing
it.
Thanks,
Samara.
Degenerate.
What was
degenerates.
The song? What was the song?
Row, row, row your boat.
Oh, we are.
We are degenerates
right?
stuck on Saturday.
You just gave us like a minor version.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I was laughing.
All right, I play.
That's how we did. Da, 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 da.
We should do it in... canon
yeah,
in the round.
Yeah.
We are degenerates. We're howling down.
We did it. No more lyrics.
We are degenerates.
Life is but a detention.
Okay, here we go.
That was terrible. Everyone drink on that one.
This kid didn't want to go to school today.
All the live long.
So
oh, I'm
on
the railroad.
What's
his
name?
Found his friend.
Ferris Bueller.
Day off.
Yeah. And cool. So did you get the song already?
I've been working on the railroad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you guys get it?
Well, I feel like we're shouting really loud.
We're just
I'm
really
so excited to know it.
We're so upset.
I don't know.
Do we want to vote on who did the best job?
Oh, yeah, let's
should
do
I
this.
Do that? Should I do the head thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I think.
I'm going to stand up. Did Brian do good?
I think Kimberly just won.
Yo, that's
Kimberly
bullshit.
No!
Stacking the
You get
deck.
Married and you win shit.
Yeah.
It's very pretty ring.
But do you lose the game of life?
Yeah,
I don't
I was
know.
Say, but,
hey!
I'm just kidding.
He's your best friend.
That but he's enemy of the show.
That was...
Chris, we got more questions.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, don't
do
worry.
You like Kimberly? I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think she's overrated in the game department.
Yeah!
So,
throw in shade.
So let's talk about the difference between Spring Awakenings.
Okay.
Not necessarily... Is that funny?
Well, because there's one very obvious difference, maybe, that like...
I don't want to talk about the... I know, that's true. That's true. But my next question, my follow-up was not necessarily about like the concept of the show, which is obviously completely different.
Yeah.
But what you brought to... the show each time you were in it, because you were in it very early on in your career.
Yes.
And then you all of a sudden became this part that, you know, was a little bit, you know, mid-career, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
Not that your career is going to end, you know.
Equal distance from now.
Yeah, right.
We're counting it down.
So you're on the downhill slope.
Yeah,
so.
Great, perfect.
Get those silks out.
I'm going on tour with Once, but...
it's been on act for like 2 years.
Yeah. Once you've been
exactly.
Very lucky.
No, but... Well, when I did it the first time, I was young. I was 21, which was still too old to be in Spring Awakening, I like to say. But, but you know, it was such a rare thing because, of course, at that time, we were still playing 14, 15, you know, and even everyone in the show. And it was a really rare opportunity to get to do a show that was about something more, where the stakes were higher than just, like, my boyfriend doesn't like me and my locker is in the wrong places. You know, like, it's so boring. Like, there's, playing a high school when you're not a high schooler is, like, there's just nothing more boring than that. And so... to be able to like really dig into like life and death stuff at that age was such a gift. I think that even we didn't realize we were getting at that age.
Yeah.
And so it felt really cool to be able to like be super behind what you were working on. Like that experience of really feeling like what you were doing was important or special or something, which you rarely get even as an adult. So to be able to get it as a kid was a big deal. So then to come at it again as an adult... was really, really eye-opening. And I think it actually was easier to understand the plight of these kids once you've actually been through. Because these kids have been through more in their short life than we have been in our whole adolescence because we live in America and, you know. Right. So they, it was like to kind of go through. And then I had come to the show having just been going through treatments of breast cancer. So I came at it with like a lot heavier of my life had taken a much darker turn. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to play Ilsa, who's like the darkest of all characters. I mean, right. She's one of like, that's the darkest you can go, you know, at that age sometimes. So, so I really felt like I was like, oh, the key to playing 16 is to be 31. Like, you have to be twice the age right. of the character to have, like, gone through it, you know?
But so don't ever think you're being miscast.
Yeah, everyone. Exactly. Well, it's like, you know, Orlando Bloom played Romeo. He was, like, 35, right. And he played Romeo.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so, and he brought up the point. He's like, well, you know, back then they would have died, like, 6 years after the play took place. Like, mm-hmm. If you extrapolate...
Well, they died at the end of the
well,
play.
Yes, but I mean, like, the life expectancy of somebody...
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Guys, have you seen it?
What is go this, to high
what is this play?
Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, no, never heard of it.
Juliet.
Juliet.
They made a Romeo and Juliet, so yeah, if you want to get it,
so
just watch
cute.
That movie. You'll totally understand.
Oh. So that was the difference of the approach, I guess, of the two Spring Awakenings, was
okay,
like
awesome.
Having the more experience of understanding what they were going through, and then to add on the death element. And sort of fight for a cause was really special.
That's brilliant.
So let's talk about very something very similar, Trial and Error.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's death in that too.
There is. That's
yeah.
true.
There is.
I guess talk about not only doing theater versus film, but you know, filming a pilot versus all of a sudden being picked up and doing this series? Like, what do you find the differences are in terms of both style of acting as well as style of plot progression and, like, breathability of the plot?
Between shows that, between just doing a pilot and then taking into the series, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
The pilots are, you know, a lot of times you'll do a pilot and you're like, this isn't going anywhere, or you'll be like.
Iceland.
Yeah. No, I loved Iceland. Iceland should have gone somewhere.
And Iceland, the full series.
Season. Well, it was the same year as The New Girl, so we got edged out. That was back when they only picked up with two shows a year, so we got edged out. But anyway.
Damn New Girl.
Winston is a delight, though.
We shot the pilot, and it was really funny, and we just all kind of knew that there was more to be told of the story. And it's interesting. You get to, where in theater, you make the same choice over and over again. You do the arc of the character stays the same throughout the whole time you're doing it. This, you have to be ready to change and grow, and you can very, almost rarely be like, my character would never do that, because eventually your character's going to do it. Like, yeah, yeah. If it's seven seasons in, like,
You're gonna have a baby.
Yeah, you're gonna do a surgery
in an elevator.
Exactly.
It's gonna happen.
You're gonna end up upside down in a church hanging from silk. Yeah. Like, it's
that was season two. They fast forwarded that.
Yeah, it just burned up fast and bright. Yeah. So, you know, you get to kind of, you have no idea what's going to happen. So there's a lot of that. But this group, Trial and Error, was such a fun group to work with, because they're all, a lot of them are theater-based, which is really unique
for the television world.
Yeah, John Lithgow is a theater guy. Stephen Boyer.
I've heard of them.
Sherry Shepherd has been on Broadway.
Yeah.
And then me. And then Jaima Mays, who was on Glee. Yeah. So we're all, like, you know, have some.
Is there going to be a musical episode
basis.
Of Trial?
I don't know. Probably like a seven season sort of thing.
Will it just be you singing over and over and over
again? Are you going to cross over with Flash and Supergirl?
Supergirl, Flash, Trial and Error, crossover.
So pay attention to when Krista sings the entire episode of Trial and Error.
Yeah.
Like
to
a Joseph narrator.
Just narrating the plot to the tune
exactly.
of
Murder Board. Murder Board.
Who's watching Trial and Error? Please. Anybody? Okay, great. Keep watching.
It's really fun.
Whose mom told them to watch it? They haven't watched it yet.
Is that just you?
That was a weird question.
I know.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what everybody was like. Yeah, my mom!
So I'd love to play another game with you.
Hey!
Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Not excited.
No, I'm nervous. I'm just nervous always.
Okay. So this is our Lights of Broadway show cards round.
Lights of Broadway.
Okay, now I'm in.
Yeah, so, Lights of Broadway as drawn by Squiggs.
Hey, Squiggs.
Yeah, in the
Oh, and before we start
Mario
Lights of Broadway,
box.
I want to point out Kevin's Lin-Manuel pin.
Oh, I'm wearing a Lin-Manuel pin.
No.
Because I think everyone should wear a Lin pin every day. If you, there's some amazing pins you can get of Broadway stars, including Burnett Peters, Angela Lansbury, Patti LuPone, and all those great people. Go to BroadwayPins.com, and you'll totally get your pin. So if you wear Burnett Peters every day, like Robbie Rozelle, you'll be able to say, you are not alone.
They're not sponsoring us. Kevin just really likes those
pins. I just really love their pins.
Hashtag not an ad.
That was just Kevin's love.
That was just me loving pins, bitches.
I was just stalling while I shuffle some cards. So I have, in the theme of Trial and Error, a Lights of Broadway murder mystery. Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Slash Mad Libs. So Kevin and I have collaborated on this game.
Holla.
So I have a small deck of Lights of Broadway cards that I'm just going to put so that we can all kind of reach them.
Okay.
Perfect.
And so I have murder mystery cards for each character in this murder mystery. There will be a blank that says LOB card, and that's when you just pull one from the...
Got it.
Okay.
Drink, because I'm stuttering.
Oh, Lights of Broadway. Okay, great.
Drink?
Yeah, so you'll just pull one and then...
Okay.
Krista, do you have a Lights of Broadway card?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't have one.
From Spring Awakening?
It's just me.
I think she just has one.
I didn't mean like from a specific show, but
she's important enough. I think they made them during First Date. Yeah.
I like that album. If you Broadway Records has that, it's really good.
Okay. Can you just make them a little closer to my hand?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I didn't move on.
Kevin, you
really... Because I have a whole intro that Kevin wrote me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wait, I have to distribute the envelopes first.
Okay, yeah.
Pass this one to Brian. It says the lover on top.
You're the lover,
Krista's
Brian.
Krista's going to get the best friend.
I knew this was going to happen.
And Kevin, you get the housekeeper.
I'm the housekeeper.
I get cast as the best friend even in podcasts.
I fucking knew it. I fucking...
No!
I knew it.
And Karma Cusack, everyone.
Amazing. So keep those envelopes closed, Brian.
No.
Keep that envelope closed until it's your turn.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to give you your lines. Okay. Well, I mean, the lines are in the card. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to the mystery of the Seven Brews, a Lights of Broadway show cards murder mystery. It seems a lively after party at the secluded mansion turned deadly when host and notorious nightlifer, Mary Martin, was found to be poisoned by one of the seven beers she had for a nightcap.
Ooh.
The three possible suspects have been assembled here, and let's see what they have to say for themselves. First, we'll hear from the lover.
Brian?
That's me.
Take a card.
Do I read this? Or do
read it, and then read the card, like when you get to the thing where it says the card.
It's true. We were lovers. Yes, I, Javier Munoz.
Yeah.
Intentionally known for my beauty and loved by fans and stars alike, gave my heart blindly to a notorious nightlife narcissist. Sure, we quarreled that night, but we fought every night. It was passionate love until the bitter, poisoned end.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wonderful.
The plot thickens.
And now we'll hear from the best friend.
Okay, all right. Let's do this. I admit it. It was hard to watch them get everything they wanted in life. While here I was, Michael Bennett.
Not a rare card. Not a rare card.
The forgotten sidekick in the background. Sure, I always yearned for the spotlight and the money and the fame, but I'd never poison my friendship or my friend with such thoughts or actions. It wasn't me.
And finally, the housekeeper.
I have been a loyal personal employee and friend for many years. Yes, they can always count on me. David Diggs.
Yes.
To clean any mess that might arise. I'm well paid and well trained, and the most important thing I know is you don't poison the hand that feeds you.
All right, my friends, the fates of the suspects lie in your hands. Audience, I'm going to do the hand thing again. Did the lover do it?
Yes! Wait, should I be excited or upset about this?
The best friend. The housekeeper.
Who did it?
I think the lover got the most applause.
I think the lover did.
Javier Munoz.
Lover.
It was me. Do I get a script about how I did it?
Yes.
Yes.
This is your guilty script.
It's a guilt. It says guilty.
What does it say?
Oh, this is great. It's true, it was me. I put poison in the beer. I was offered the opportunity of a lifetime to be, not an opportunity of a lifetime, to be a guest on Broadwasted. But recording
interfered.
I can't read. Interfered with a party, and of course, nightlife was everything, but not to me or my secret lover. Zero Mistel. Together, Zero and I found the perfect poison to place in the penultimate PBR to prove a point that I love consonants. And I will do anything to be a hashtag friend of the show.
Hey!
That has been your murder mystery. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks. Cheers. Kevin wrote
Cheers.
That. That was really great. Good. Cheers.
Javier Munoz killed Mary Martin.
Cheers.
Nathan Lane right up top. I'm looking at the rest of these.
Wait, you're looking through them?
Yeah, Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane? Oh, yeah. Did you do something with him?
Yeah, just a couple years.
Yeah.
Just a couple years of playing his daughter.
That's cool. But one last question before we end.
Yeah.
You originated the role of Wednesday Addams.
Yes.
And that... Yeah. No, that's it? Three people? Great. So my question to you is, you took a very well-known entity as played by Christina Ricci in a phenomenal two movies. Let's mostly shout out the Addams Family Values, where her Sleepaway Camp is one of the greatest things of all time.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
But more importantly...
Brian, do you like Sleepaway Camp?
What? I didn't go to Sleepaway Camp. Just kidding, I did. It was great. How did you take from the comic to the TV show to the movie, and then all of a sudden you're handed this material 7 years ago or more than that? And take it and say, oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna make this my own. How did you do that?
Well, it was easy in some ways because
great. And we're this
no,
is
no.
their end.
I said in some ways. No, because it was written, she was an adult for the first time. You've never seen Wednesday as an 18-year-old before. She's always been
Wednesday either, done grown up.
Yeah, she did grow. Wednesday's growing up.
She was a Friday.
Thursday before you know it. It was a line in the show.
That was a pun.
Yeah. She was a Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
No, Kevin, she was a Friday.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, she was really little in the TV show. She was like 5. And then she was like 10 in the movies. Yeah. And now she's 18 in the play. So I got to sort of just decide what she would be like at that age rather than having to, like, figure out how I was going to make it different.
So like a full-blown Wednesday.
Yeah, like a full-blown Wednesday.
Like you played her as a hump day.
Yeah, it was hump day.
Yeah.
But also she's going through something different where she's being, as we've said 20 times in this podcast, pulled in a new direction.
Uh-huh. Did you sing a song about that?
Yeah, I did. And she's like in love, so and she's wearing yellow, so there was really no resemblance to like the original Wednesday.
So she
in
was
some
feeling
ways.
Like, she was feeling, you know, puberty.
Yeah, exactly. She hump was getting, day. She hump day, yeah. Yes. Yeah. She was getting married, so really.
What's Wednesday Adams doing today?
Wednesday, I wonder if they're still married. They decide.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, why they don't
but
get married?
She, like torture her husband or torture?
Yeah, no,
Pugsley
yeah, totally.
More.
She says, "I want to cut you with my love
so, yeah,
and with my knife."
Torture her husband.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh. He's probably like strapped to a basement pipe.
That's
or
like
something
more like a
right
Queens
now.
Thing, I think. I don't know if you can talk about
that. That sounds more like John Lithgow from season 4 of Dexter.
Yeah. Or Trial and Error.
Or Trial, yeah.
Who Watch knows?
But on that note, that actually brings us to the end of our episode.
Yeah.
Oh,
we have a minute,
which is
20
incredibly
seconds left.
Disappointing because we would have loved to have talked to Krista for 16 hours.
16 I have the time.
16 candles.
Hours.
Six.
That was... It didn't work.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Was that a pun?
I don't know.
There's not usually a laugh, and then we just
all
cut the things
that
don't work.
All you need to undrink for what Brian just said.
Sit it back.
Anyway, so you can follow Broadwasted on @Broadwasted on Instagram, @Broadwasted on Twitter, Facebook.
Borat/
we had a problem. I'm Houston. We have a problem. Or on Facebook. Make sure to go to broadwasted.com and, I don't know, do whatever you want there. But subscribe to us on iTunes. Okay. Kevin's going to die.
That was a big shot.
And 50th episode of Broadwasted is Kevin's death.
Yeah.
It's Pippin, guys.
He's not dead. I'm okay. But on Krista, follow her at Krista Rodriguez on Twitter.
With really loud letters.
Krista Rodriguez.
Krista Rodriguez.
But we end every episode with a quote.
Oh, what is it?
Yes.
And tonight it is, "Tonight the Super Trooper lights are going to find me. Shining like the sun. Smiling, having fun, feeling like number one." My favorite part of that is the WP, the double P, the super trooper. I think that's great, the background.
Is that Mamma Mia?
It is.
Yes. It's also just ABBA.
Yeah. But we end every episode with our favorite cadence from our favorite song, as they would never agree to that. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Everyone in the audience? Kevin took a breath already. Everybody?
Zoo-choo-wop-bop.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We loved it here at the Bell House with NYC Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Krista. Woo! You've been an absolute delight.
Thank you.
Make sure you're watching Trial and Error. But thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we'll have an episode. I don't know who it is, but like it's going to be great. So should listen.
Thank you.
Keep it going for Broadwasted.
Wow, awesome. That was so much fun.
Woo!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.